All right, church, how you guys doing this morning? You guys good? You excited? Oh, we can do better than that. You excited to be in church this morning? All right. Well, good. I'm really excited to be with you guys today, and this is really exciting for me. And I just want to begin by giving honor, and just I'm so thankful for the opportunity that Pastor Jason has given me on this weekend, this special weekend, to be able not only to just to hang out with you guys, but also to be able to open up God's word with you guys and share that with you. And I really, you know, I can't think of a better way to spend this weekend with you guys and unpacking God's word as we jump into the fifth commandment and examine what that is all about. And so my prayer all week has been, I believe that God wants to do something special in your lives. I believe he wants to do that through his word. And we're believing that through God's word, he's going to challenge you and he's going to encourage you. And hopefully he'll convict you a little bit. And my prayer has been that, you know, when you walk out today, that you just walk out a little more like Jesus than when you came in. If so, man, that's awesome. And it's been a great day. And so, church, let's do me a favor. Let's kick everything off through prayer. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, today we thank you that you are an amazing and that you are a great God. God, today we pray that you would be at the center of our attention, that you would be at the center of our focus and nothing else. And so, Father, today, we pray for all the parents who are in the room today, that God, maybe aspiring parents or grandparents, that we would see the value in the fifth commandment. God, we would see the value in your design. And more importantly, God, that we would just be able to have a holistic view of what it looks like to honor a father and a mother because it pleases you. And so, Father, be glorified today. Be at the center of our attention. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, if this is your first week here, you know, we're in our fourth week of our series called 10, and where each week we're looking at a different 10 commandment. And so one commandment each week. And really the whole idea is that we've been looking at how the 10 commandments, that they're just not a bunch of rules. Rather, they're actually an invitation into a relationship with God. And although this is the fourth week in our series of the Ten Commandments, today we're actually going to be talking about the fifth commandment. And how many of you have already started to wonder, like, why are we talking about the fifth commandment if we're in the fourth week? Like, you know, some of you OCD people right now are starting to sweat. You're like, what is going on? You're taking notes vividly, you know, viciously right now. And I would love to tell you today that, man, we had this grand scheme and plan and strategy, and it was going to be amazing. We just messed up. And so that's all, you know, we're public school kids and we're like, yeah, 5's after 3, we'll go with that. And so for you OCD people, or, you know, your CDO people, like everything in order, don't worry, Pastor Jason will come back next week, preach an amazing message on the fourth commandment, and then the world will be back in perfect order and you will be able to sleep at night and rest well. And so we had to get that out of the way so you can focus. And so now if you are new, let me get you caught up real quick. So up until this point, we have been looking at the first four commandments. And really, Pastor Jason has told us that the commandments are really broken down into two different categories, right? And in the first group, you have commandments 1 through 4. And they focus on our vertical relationship. Everybody say vertical. They focus on how we can honor and live honoring God, lives to God. Then commandments 5 through 10, they focus on our horizontal relationships. Everybody say horizontal. They focus on how we can live honoring lives for God with other people, how to increase those relationships. And here are the commandments we've looked at so far. Number 1, you shall have no other gods before me. Number 2, you shall not make idols. Number 3, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And the next week, to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And then here's what I want you to see this morning to kind of set the tension of why the fifth commandment is so important. Because when God rounds the corner from the fourth commandment, he just finished with the vertical set of commandments and he's moving to the horizontal. He makes such a shift, such a radical change that it caught everybody off guard. And I don't know if you know what this is like, but have you ever been riding in a car with somebody and you're on your phone, you're not driving, you're riding, all right, before I get an email. And you're riding in a car and you're on Instagram or you're on Twitter, snapping emails, whatever you're doing, and you're not paying attention, but the driver's paying attention, right? You're not paying attention. And then out of nowhere, they decide to change lanes real quick, right? Or they decide to take a left turn into McDonald's or whatever the reason is. Anybody ever been there before, right? Some of you are pointing at the person beside you. And it catches you off guard because there was something that was so important for them that they had to make an abrupt change. They knew where they were going. They just didn't televise the change. And you're alert to something important that's about to happen. Well, the same thing happens with the fifth commandment, that God makes such a shift as he starts to talk about our horizontal relationships that it caused everybody to take notice. Because what was so interesting here is that the person who God begins with, the person that God chooses to start with, is so interesting. It probably caused a lot of people to wonder, God, did you really mean to put it there? Like, God, we know that you're sovereign and we know that you don't make mistakes, but is this really the best place for the fifth commandment? Like, do you want to mulligan and maybe put it somewhere else? You know, do you want to make 11 commandments and just add it somewhere else? It doesn't sell as good as 10, but you know, like, are you sure this is where you want to put it? Because remember the context, church, like God has given these commandments to Moses to take to Israel. And when he gives them these commandments, that they are to help them live honorable lives for them and to honor everybody else. They're also designed to create the best societies and the best nations and the best world for the gospel to thrive. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine, like think about all the other commandments, all the ones that are following on how we can honor everybody else. Is there one that you would naturally think would be better there? I mean, if we're trying to create the best societies and the best nations for the gospel, don't murder seems like it would be a good one to lead with, right? Like, that's pretty good, right? Don't steal, right? Don't lie. Nobody likes liars, but liars is a proven fact statistically, okay? And like, don't covet. There's so many that could have gone so good right here, but God chose to put the fifth commandment exactly where it was because my belief is that it sets the stage and it shows us the heart of all other relationships that we will experience. In fact, this is what he chose to say. He said, I want you to honor your father and your mother. In fact, if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and let's read it. It says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother. Today we're going to talk about what it looks like to honor your father and mother. Turn to your neighbor and say, today we're going to talk about how to honor your father and your mother. Go ahead. That just gave me an opportunity to try to swallow some of the mucus from being sick. I'm going to be honest. So here's the question that we're going to ask today is this: why was this commandment so important to God? Why was the fifth commandment so important to God that he wanted to put it first in the second group of commandments? Why did God want to lead off with this? But not only that, we also know that this is the first commandment that actually has a promise with it. And the reason this is significant is because this commandment was so important to God. He's like, if you do this, then I will do this for you. It was so important to God that he wanted to give us some incentive for this commandment. How many of you parents know what this is like, right? So when you really want your kids to do something, you will bribe them with anything under the sun and the moon, won't you? Right? Like, how many parents are self-professed, like you're not ashamed that you will bribe your kids with things to get them obey? And here's the reason I believe that we bribe or we promise our kids things is because of this. The promises show value. The promises show importance. They show significance. So when God gives us the Ten Commandments, he says, I want you to do this, and this is a command. But at the same time, because I'm a gracious God, I'm going to give you a promise behind it because it's that important. And so the question today is this. We've set the stage. Why is the fifth commandment so important that it's first in the second group and that God gave us a promise? Because here's what I don't want you to miss, church. I believe there's a nugget of truth hidden behind here that if we can reach our hands and grab, that God will really do something in your life. And so here's, if you're taking notes, what I want you to write down. That honoring our parents often results in blessings in our lives. Why is the fifth commandment so important? Why did it go there? Why does it have a promise? Because when we honor our parents, it often results in blessings in our lives that sometimes there are blessings that we will only receive as we submit ourselves to God's commandments and we honor our parents. And so today we're going to look at what that could look like for you. And so today, if you're taking notes, we want to break today down into two parts. We want to talk about the command, and then we want to talk about the promise, and then we'll close with some application. And so first of all, let's talk about the command. Let's look at the command. The command says to honor your father and your mother. So if you're taking notes, honor means to respect, to appreciate, or to esteem someone highly. It means to think of someone maybe even higher than you think of yourselves. And it carries this idea of a weight, a responsibility with it. In this town, in this culture, we know exactly what this is like, don't we? Especially for Marines and Marine families are very aware of this idea of honor, because one of the three core values of a Marine is what? Is to honor, is honor, courage, and commitment, to live in such a way that esteems the Marine Corps, to live in such a way that does not tarnish the organization. And honor is supposed to be the bedrock of your character, to honor. See, honor has this idea of a weight, a responsibility that comes with it. I remember my first day on the job over 9 years ago. Pastor Ryan, he was a student pastor at that time, and he was walking out the door, and he handed me the keys, and he said, have fun, and he walked out the door, and I shut the door in the office behind him, and I put a green piece of paper over the window so nobody could see me freaking out, and I went back in my office, and I buried my head into my arms, not because I was scared, maybe a little, but because of the weight that I had just been handed. Because of the responsibility. And you got to know the story. But Pastor Ryan, he took a student ministry that was really dysfunctional, and he turned it around into a healthy thing, and he handed that to me. He entrusted that with me. And because of that, I carried this weight around with me, because it was an honor. It was a privilege to be called the student pastor at that time. And the truth is, I still carry that weight even today as I stand before you, because honor has a weight associated with it. And so when God says that I want you to honor your parents, I want you to treat them with this respect, I want you to esteem them highly, and there's a weight that we should carry that comes with it. In fact, here are just a few nuggets of truth or facts about honor. If you're taking notes, number one is that honor is a choice, right, church? How many of you know that? Honor is not a feeling. It's not like love, and it's a feeling, and it makes you feel warm and comfortable. Honor is a choice that we have to make every day. It's a moral choice. Honor is given. It is not earned. See, everything in your relationship with your parents is often changing, isn't it? That you're going through a new phase every couple of years, and they're going through a new phase every couple of years, and your relationship is constantly changing. But listen, there is one nucleus of your relationship that will never change, and that is how you honor them. Why? Because honor is a choice that we have to make. In the good times and the bad times, we choose to honor them, not because of our situations, because of God's command. Number two is this, is that honor is more about the heart than it is about compliance. Honor is more about the heart than it is about compliance. Now, a lot of times when we hear Exodus 20, 12 read, we think it's talking to little children. In fact, I'm going to ask you to be transparent today, church. I know that's difficult in a lot of your peers. But how many of you have ever used this verse before with your kids to get them to obey you? Raise your hand. All right, four of you. That makes me feel great. Because I've looked at my kids before. Son, you need to go make your bed. Why? It says, honor your mother and father. Deuces, do it. It's like the trump card, right? But the reality is that this verse was not really written towards little kids. Because remember the context, that God gave this to Moses to take to the nation of Israel, and he read it in front of the nation of Israel, and there were kids there, yes. But the primary audience were you and me. It wasn't little children. Actually, I believe this is more targeted to adult children. to adult children who maybe your parents are starting to get older and you're having to start make plans on what are you going to do with them and how are you going to love them in this next season of life and what's best for them. Because I believe that God looked at the culture and society, and he obviously knew what's best. And he said, saw just a mass exodus of when the generations got older that we were forgetting them. And he says, I never want that to be the picture of my love for them. And so honor your mother and father, talking to adult children. We know that when our children are younger, that they honor us and they honor God by obedience, right? Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything, for it pleases the Lord. But in this verse, in Exodus 20:12, the commandment is not to obey, church, it's to honor. And there's a difference between obedience and honor. And I think the reason that God wrote this was because of the fact that he was more concerned with our heart than with our submission to a set of rules. Because God knew that when he gets our hearts, he gets our joyful submission. See, for a lot of you, this may be a sticking point for you. To when you start hearing about honoring your parents, that weirds you out because you never want to put yourself, you think if you honor your parents, you have to submit yourself again to them. You have to obey them again in everything that you do. And the reality is here, we're commanded to honor, not to obey. That there is a way that you can honor your parents who may be dishonorable without obeying them. There's a way that you can respect them and to esteem them highly. We're going to talk about some of these ways without obeying them. Because here's the reality. We can still honor our parents without having coffee every Thursday morning. We can still honor them without talking with them every day on the phone. We can still honor them without even enjoying to spend time with them because maybe some of the mistakes or the things that they have done against you. There's a way that we can honor them because honor has more to do with the heart than it does with compliance. So notice the third truth today, and that is this, is that honor does not play favorites. A church, a little bit interaction, but who does it say to honor? Who does it say to honor, church? The father and the mother. Now there's a whole nother soapbox that we're not getting on today about that, but God says don't play favorites. Honor does not play favorites. It's to honor your mother and your father. See, church, God's designed parents to represent God to their kids. The symbol of God's love to the next generation. Listen, it was never meant to be an amazing kids ministry, and it was never meant to be an amazing student ministry. It has always first and primarily been the family. See, church, when we want our kids to learn about the amazing love and the grace of God, they should see it in mom and dad first. When we want them to learn about the discipline of God, we need them to see it in mom and dad first. When we want to teach them about the direction and the correction of God, then they need to see it in mom and dad first. Because that God designed the parent and the child relationship to be among the most vital of all other relationships that they will experience. Because if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Because when you honor your parents, you're actually honoring God. That when you honor your parents, you're actually honoring God. When you honor the horizontal, you are honoring the vertical. Because there is a natural progression with biblical honor. Because if we honor and love God, then we will honor our parents. And then if we honor our parents, then we will be more likely to honor those who are in authority over us when we get older and we move out of the house. Because honor is transferable. It has a natural progression in it. And this is just Lenny's belief here. But the reason that honoring mom and dad is so important, it's because the gospel will never be able to go to the ends of the earth if it doesn't, is not first modeled in the home. See, God's a God of order, and God is a God of honor, and he wants this to first be modeled in the home. You know, this week doing some research, I came across this really incredible quote. I'd heard it in different forms before, but I did not know its origin. And here's what it says, and maybe you've heard it before. It's from Pope John Paul II. He says, so goes the family, goes the nation, and goes the world in which we live. So goes the family, goes the nation, and so goes the world in which we live. See, church, it's very easy in times like we're right now, today, this week, this month, to look around at everything that's going on in the nation. And it's very easy for us to sit back as Christians and point the finger and blame everybody outside. It's the NFL's fault. It's Twitter's fault. It's the president's fault. It's the politics. It's culture. It's society as a whole, as if that's fair to blame, right? And we blame everything out there. But the reality is for us, and I want you to hear this, that our nation's issues are rooted with the home first. Because this is where it begins. And when we look at all the chaos that's going out there, we have to ask the question, is the original God's design, are we starting with teaching them how to honor mom and dad? Because honor is progressive and we can transfer it out. Listen, God knew then that when we lose the families, we're gonna lose our nation. But then when we raise a generation that loses the importance of honoring their parents, then they're not going to value honoring and respecting any other authority figure in their life. Why? Because so goes the family, goes the nation, and so goes the world with it. See, church, we can see the importance of why God put this first, can't we? Because so goes the nation, family goes the nation. But listen, he gives us some incentive. Listen to what he says. Let's look at the promise here. And here's the promise. He says, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord God is giving to you. What he's saying here is that there is blessings attached to obeying God. There's blessings in obedience. See, a lot of times when we hear this verse taught, it's often taught that this verse means to the Israelites that you will live a long life. That if you honor your mom and dad, that you will live a long life. But church, just being frank with you, that's not the case. And the reason we know that's not the case is because Jesus, who was the most obedient son to his heavenly father and his earthly parents, still died a young man. And listen, church, God will never promise you something that he did not promise his son first. And actually, when we read the New Testament, that when we read about obedience and obeying God and living by his commandments is often associated with death and danger and harm and not comfort and joy and peace, excuse me. So what is it saying here? God's not promising here that you will live a long life. Instead, he's promising that you will live a full life. Amen? He's promising that this is not about longevity, this is about depth, that this is about the fullness of life that you will experience. Because church, there are some things that there are some blessings that we can only experience as we submit ourselves to God's design and we come under that and we trust his design and we submit to those who are in authority over us. So God gives us a promise. He gives us a blessing that can only be experienced as we trust God's design and we honor our parents. And so the question today is this: how do you do that? As adult children, what does this look like for you? What are some practical ways you can put in your tool belt and take home with you today? Let me give you four. Number one is this, is that you have to see your parents as a blessing from God. How do you honor your parents? It begins with seeing your parents as a blessing from God. How many of you have ever wondered, like, why you have the parents you have, right? Every teenager has done that, right? You sat in your room, you're like, why, God, did you give me them? But I'm not talking about a negative sense. Like, really, like, how did I get the parents I got? Like, I get that, but like, how did I get, like, God, was it just luck, you know? And I don't believe it was, because God said that you were not an accident, that you were planned before the foundations of the earth, and which means also that I believe that God took two people at the right time with the right DNA to bring them together to make you, because you're not an accident, and guess what that means? That your parents are not an accident either. See, a lot changes when we start to see the people in our life as not a curse, but a blessing. See, you did not choose your parents, God did, and he is not capable of making a mistake, and his design for you is to live your life to honor them. And here's what I know, that for some of you, that's not easy. For some of you, the thought of honoring your parents because of what they did to you causes you to fear. It causes you to get angry. Maybe even you said this phrase today in your head, but Lenny, you have no idea what they've done to me. And I can't tell you all my story today, but here's what I can tell you from personal experience, that a lot changes when we see someone in our life as purposeful and not as a mistake. Amen? That when we start to see people in our lives as not a mistake, but we see them as purposeful, then we see a purpose behind the pain. See, when I stop complaining about my situation and I start to look for a purpose, then my relationship starts to change. See, church, I want you to write this down. When we change our perspective, we change our reality. When we change our perspective, we change our reality. And listen, God did not send us as his son to take our sins so that we can wallow in our circumstances and question God. But so many amazing things will happen in your life once you start believing that God and realize that there's a completely sovereign God who is not capable of making a mistake, that loves you more than you could ever imagine, and that when you start to see it that way, that you will begin to see your challenges as opportunities to rejoice. And you will begin to see your obstacles as opportunities for God's glory. And it all begins with, do you see your parents as a blessing from God? Maybe today we need to start praying for the opportunity to spend time praising God for the people in our life, because when we praise God for the people in our life, we will see a purpose for the people in our life. Number two, how can we honor our parents? I believe it has to begin with that we have to be a parent of honor first. That if we want to raise a generation that honors us, then we have to be a parent of honor. That, church, let's be a generation of parents that gives our kids something to look forward to, something to run after, something, give them something that they want to honor. I see it too many times with kids and with teenagers that they are freely just giving out their honor to other men and women in their life because mom and dad is not fighting for it in their home first. And our kids should have other heroes in their life, but they should first give their honor at home. I think so many times it's easier to blame them than it is to look in the mirror and saying, am I giving them something to honor to chase after? So let me give you a couple ways that you can be a parent of honor today. Number one, it begins with how you honor your parents. I know it's getting confusing. I get it. How can you be a parent of honor? It begins by how you honor your parents. Because follow with me. If every time you get off the phone with your parents, you're talking to your parents on the phone, you hang up the phone, you're like, ah, they annoy me so much. Why does she talk so much? Like, why does she always want to visit? Like, all these things. Guess what your kids are going to do as soon as they hang up the phone with you? Just got real, didn't it? Listen, our kids replicate what they see, not what they hear. Our kids replicate what they see. How are you honoring your parents? Number two, make Jesus a priority in your home. Church, this is what we're called to do as parents. Make Jesus a priority in your home. And listen, in order to do this, you have to constantly fight the urge to buy into this myth that other things deserve first place in your home. And other things can be good things. They can be your job. They can be your success at your job. They can be your financial income. They can be your kids' sports. They can be your hobbies. It can be your kids' education. And those things are good things. But as parents, we have to constantly fight this urge. What should be first place in our home? And never let anything take the throne of that except Jesus. Listen, what you prioritize now, they will prioritize when they go to college. What you major on now, they will replicate what they see, not what they hear. Number three, how can you honor your parents is you need to provide for them, right? I'll be completely transparent. Next service, my mom's gonna be in here, and this has always weirded me out, right? Don't act like I'm the only one here. The thought of my mom having to come back and live with me again. I love my mom to death, but I struggle with this sometimes. And what does this look like? And how can I do this to show her the gospel love? But there may be no greater evidence of the gospel in your life than when you provide for those who cannot provide for themselves. So we have to fight for it. Amen? See, our parents spent the last 18 to 20 years taking care of us, providing for us when we cannot provide for ourselves. So when the time comes, we should extend the same gospel love to them, to provide for them, to show them the same Jesus that hopefully they showed you. I know that when you're doing it, and I know it's difficult, and to whether you're praying about, like, do we make their home a safe place for them in their last days? Do we put them in a nursing home because they're in a different state? Or do we bring them in to live with us? Whatever that may be, I don't think it matters. But I want you to know that when you do this, that you're modeling the love of Jesus. Because did you know in Jesus' last days when he was preparing to go to the cross, I think it's like John 19, that he was preparing to go to the cross, he turns to John and he says, you see that? That's my mom. But when I'm gone, I want you to love her as if she was your mother as well. What was he doing? He was providing for her in his last days. And the fourth and final way today that you can be a parent of honor, you can honor your parents, is this, is that you need to forgive your parents. Like, I know for some of you, this is where the rubber meets the road, right? Some of you, listen, you've had horrible things happen to you. Your parents have taken out their aggression and their anger. You have been neglected. You have been forgotten. You have been sinned against. And listen, I want you to know today that I am in no way making light of your situation. I am in no way saying it's not hard. I'm not in no way saying that you're not going to need counseling to help with this. But what I do know is this, that if you do not give them forgiveness, that you are missing blessing in your life. That maybe the message for you today is that God does not want to leave you in the hurt. He wants to bring you into the blessing, church. That maybe today that you are trying to carry a weight that is not yours to carry. Because if Jesus went before you and paid for all of the sins, then why are we carrying the weight and the hurt? Listen, church, so much changes when we change how we hurt. And when we hurt with hope and not hate, it gives us hope for the future. When we hurt with hope and not hate, hope in that we believe that God can right my wrongs, when he can take my story of brokenness and turn it into a beautiful masterpiece. And when we take our hurt and our hate and we lay it at the foot of Jesus and say, I'm tired of carrying this. Father, do only what you can do today. God unlocks so much blessing in your life. Because you are surrendering to him and saying, I don't understand something, but I'm believing that you are better. Church, that is by definition what a Christian is today. C.S. Lewis has this incredible statement. He says, if God's grace is sufficient for your Not even in the same camp. To be a Christian, C.S. Lewis said, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. If God's grace is sufficient for your forgiveness, then it's more sufficient for the forgiveness of your offenders. And maybe today the message for you is this, is that you're broken, you're hurt, you are weighed down, not with honor, but with guilt and hurt. And today you just want to come lay it at the foot of Jesus and say, I trust you today to do only what you can do. And watch what God unlocks in your life. You know, today I wanted to close with a story of what I think honor looks like. I've been thinking about so many different ways I'm a visual because I'm a guy, right? And so I'm trying to think of a visual way to illustrate the way that honor looks like. And I came across a story in Genesis chapter 9, and we're not going to turn there. I just want you to listen. But it's Genesis 9, 20, verse 24, so you can go back and read it for yourself. But if you're new to church, it's a story about Noah. And Noah has an interesting story because God decided to flood the earth, and somehow we want to tell kids that story, right? And he flooded the earth and killed everybody, but he saved Noah and his family. Noah built an ark, and then when the water came back down, the ark landed, and Noah took his family out, and Noah became like a farmer, and he started sowing crops and finding a way to live. And part of this was he built a vineyard. And one night, everybody's kind of, I imagine, hanging around a campfire and talking as a family, not a lot of people to associate with. And they're just kind of hanging out, talking. And he has three sons, right? And one of his sons is like, hey, where's dad? Where's the patriarch of our family? Where's our leader? I don't know where dad is. So they get up and they begin to look for dad. And one of the sons, his name's Ham. What's his name? Ham goes and he starts looking for his father, and he comes and he sees his dad's tent, and he goes into his dad's tent, and he is amazed at what he sees. If you know the story, Noah's passed out drunk. He had a little too much wine that he had grown, right? And so he is passed out drunk. He is plastered. Not only that, but he is also naked, and that's just weird, right? But in this culture, it was not weird. It was dishonorable. To see your dad naked was incredibly dishonorable, and Ham has a decision right now to make. Am I going to honor my father with his shame, or will I dishonor him? Well, Ham did what probably some of us would have done and ran back out and told the brothers, yo, you won't believe what I saw. Dad's out, and he's naked. And he completely dishonored his father. But here's where I love how the story changes. Because they had two other brothers. They had a decision. Would we follow in his footsteps, or would we choose to honor our father even when he shamed himself and our entire family? And here's what I want you to see in this story. The two brothers decide to honor their father. Let me show you how they did it. They went and they grabbed one of their blankets. Now, this blanket is my son's blanket. If my son knew I had this blanket, he would charge the stage and spear me to take it back. Don't tell him, please. You know what this blanket does for my son? Every night when he goes to bed, guess what he has to have? His blanket. Every night, it makes him feel comfortable. It makes him feel safe. It makes him feel secure. He can rest at peace because he has his blanket. Every morning when he wakes up, you know where this blanket is? It's right here. Every morning. Tucked, he walks out just like this. You know why? Because it makes him feel comfortable. It makes him feel safe, and it makes it feel secure. And listen, Noah's sons grabbed a blanket because this is what a blanket does. I think there's an incredible principle behind this as we close. But blankets give us warmth when we are cold. They give us comfort when we are uncomfortable. They give us certainty when we are uncertain. And at many times, they can cover up our shame and our nakedness when we are shameful and when we are naked. And here's the incredible part of this story. The two brothers went and sacrificed their blanket for their father's comfort. And they took their blanket and they draped it over their shoulder. There was another one. And they walked backwards into the tent so they would not look at their father's sin. They walked backwards, and when they got to their father, they covered their father up and they walked out, bringing honor to their father. Listen, church, this is not a story about a blanket. This is a picture of what it means to honor our parents, even when they shame themselves and the entire family. And church, my closing challenge for you today is let's be a church and a generation that fights to honor our parents, because when we honor the horizontal, it honors the vertical. Let's be a generation that uses our honor to cover them with our words, to cover them with our thoughts, to cover them with comfort, to cover them with security, and to cover them with the love of Jesus, which hopefully they covered you with in your younger days. See, here's the closing challenge today. I think I've said that three times. We all have a blanket. We all have an opportunity to honor. And I don't know your situation, and I don't know your circumstance, but I do believe that when we honor our mother and our father, we release blessings in our lives. So the question is today, how will you use the blankets that God has given you to honor your parents? So today, you know, as we're talking about honor, it has been an incredible privilege for me over the last 9 years to be considered to be one of your pastors. Just the thought of being allowed to be able to speak into your lives and to encourage you has been an honor. It's been my highest privilege. I esteem this with a great honor and the weight that comes with it. And I want you to know today, I'm going to end with the same message that we started with 9 years ago, is that this stage and this platform and this position was never meant to be the primary agent of change in the life of your kids. It's always been the family. And that, church, if we want to raise a generation that honors mom and dad because it honors God and it goes to the rest of the nation, then we need to give them something to chase after. We need to give them something that they can see Jesus in. And here's the thing, as a father of two, I know that's difficult and I know that's challenging, but here's the great news today. This is why this church exists. This is why our family ministry exists, led by Mark and the rest of the team, to come alongside of you, to encourage you and say, hey, you're doing a great job, to be your champion, to give you tools to do a better job, and to be there when the bottom falls out of your world that you never saw coming. And so, church, today, let's be a generation of honor. I want to thank you for allowing my family to be a part of your family. I'm excited to see how God uses you in the next generations. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, today we thank you for the example that your son Jesus set for us of what it looks like to honor the mother and the father. Jesus, today we want to thank you that through all the circumstances, he fought to put your glory before his own. And so, Father, today I pray that would be an encouragement for us as we go forth. God, I pray for those who are here today and they may be struggling with the reminders and the pain and the hurt of what their mother or father did to them or said to them. God, today I pray through the Holy Spirit you would encourage them and let them know that's not your design, but God, you can mend that, you can fix that, and you can write a greater story. So God, today I pray that they would be able to be open with that. Father, today, may you do only what you can do in the future generations, and we pray this in your name. Amen.